Some families are harmful. They have a detrimental effect on the people who belong to them. On the other hand, some families are beautiful. And in my observation, there are some families who have not confessed Jesus as Savior and Lord, and yet are beautiful. And some of these families even outshine Christian families. I heard an explanation for that once, and I accept it. But some of these families that are beautiful without being Christian have adopted some of the principles of God's Word. Whereas Christians believing in the Lord Jesus sometimes have not adopted the principles of God's Word. Some say the family can't survive, and they'll bombard you with an impressive array of statistics. But what do you say? What do you say about your family? Do you ever think of it? Do you ever think about your place? How do you see your family? How do you think about the people in your family? What do they mean to you? How do the people in your family fit into the warp and woof of God's work in your life every day? How do you see your church family? Do you look at it as a family? We keep saying that it's a family. If you acted towards your church family, if you acted towards your real family as you act towards your church family, would there be anything there? Do you accept only the joys of your church family, but not the responsibilities? Isn't it beautiful that God created a church family so that everyone could belong? Some families are devastated. Some people don't have what you would call a family. But God made it possible for you to have a church family. You can see some of this in the book of Titus, in the second chapter. The Apostle Paul is talking to that young preacher, and he says, "Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love, and endurance." Sounds like some of the things that your dad might teach you. But what if you don't have a dad that's interested in that? That was something that perplexed Augustine in his Confessions, that his father was so interested in his education but thought nothing of his moral development. That was a puzzle to him, that his father could be so blind. How could he think so much of training his mind and not think anything about his soul? Likewise, teach the older women, I'm reading from Titus 2, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can train the younger women to love their husbands and children. That's a family. To be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, to be subject to their husbands so that no one will malign the Word of God. How do you see your church family? If somebody said something to you, would you be affronted? What right have they to say anything to me? Would you accept it? If you saw something happen in the church and you were concerned about it, would you have the freedom and the love and the grace to share that with the person concerned? I've grown because you've shared things with me. It was very interesting some weeks ago in prayer meeting when one member of this church family got up and said that on the way to school, They passed another person on the way to school, both teachers, going in different directions. But the thought of another Christian passing, facing some of the same problems, and knowing that both trusted Christ together was a tremendous encouragement. I'd never heard a testimony like that before. That's a family. Let's look at the fiber of the family. The fiber of the family. I think it's right here in this Ephesians 5:21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. You know, we like to go down there in the next one, and especially us men like to think about the next one. It says, wives, submit to your husband. But let's begin in the context of all of this. Submit to one another out of your reverence for Christ. I'd preached on this subject, and it was during the time that the translators were translating the New Testament over at the Liberty Fellowship Deaconry, and they had invited the youth group to come down and watch them do this. They sat around a number of tables with a chairman. They all shared together in what they thought the translation of a particular passage should be. And the youth group went down and watched all of this. And that Wednesday night in prayer meeting, one of our young people got up and said, you know, Pastor, what you were talking about on Sunday, we saw it in action. When the translators, they all had their say. And then the vote came, and it wasn't always unanimous. But when the vote was finished, everyone got together again, and they worked on the next one. They submitted to each other out of reverence for Christ. Whether it's your natural family or whether it's your spiritual family, your church family, this is the context of it all. This is the fiber that should run through all of our words and all of our actions, that we submit to one another out of our reverence for Christ. It's not a slavery. Our world looks at those words, submission, and raise up in their pride, and they act like, what God described the Israelites as being stiff-necked. I will not be submissive. But have you caught the glory of submission? It's not slavery. You see, these people, they honored and respected each other, not because of social standing, not because of their profession, but because they were brought together through Jesus Christ, who submitted to slavery and death for us. Wives have a special ministry of submission because God has given to their husbands the role of leadership. You listen to some of the things that are said today about marriage, and logically they don't fit. For any organization needs one leader. If you don't have a leader, you have chaos. God isn't interested in putting anybody down. In fact, the submission of a wife elevates her to a high position because she recognizes that God has given to her a provider and a protector. The fiber of the family is submission to each other in the reverence of Christ. And then that further submission that recognizes the God-ordained leadership in a family. If submission is the fiber, the fault of the family is just the opposite of that. And the opposite in family life to submission is selfishness. It's my way, what I want to do, what I think, selfishness. Do you understand your selfishness? I asked myself that question this week. Do you understand your selfishness? Do you understand the thing that if there is chaos in your family, if there is lack of harmony and control, if there's lack of fulfillment, it's in some way related to selfishness. I ask myself, do you understand your selfishness as it relates to your family? I came to the conclusion that my selfishness was rooted in my fear. I think that's why Paul says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. You see, when I'm tempted to fear, then I have to be selfish. I'm afraid that I might lose out, and you hear the echoes coming out of the Garden of Eden. Oh, God wants to keep you from something. He doesn't want you to be like He is. And Adam and Eve were afraid they'd lose out. They'd miss something in life, and the fear of that made them selfish. Or I'm afraid when I'm threatened. Or I'm afraid when I'm left out. And I become selfish. What's the answer to my selfishness? What's the answer to your selfishness? So that your family might grow together and fulfill all that God intended. The solution to my selfishness is to know Jesus. You see, if I have a protector, a provider, a lover, there's no need for me to be afraid. Wives, do you fulfill this passage where it says, wives, submit yourselves to your husband? Is your lack of fulfillment there because of your fear? Are you afraid that you won't be protected? That you won't have the best? Well, the umbrella over all of this is out of your reverence for Christ. Do you believe that, and this is the fulfillment of the family, the fulfillment of the family in it, the practical outworking of what we're talking about. Do you believe that God has a purpose for everyone in that family? How different members of a family are. I looked at my family and I said, how could three boys be so different, coming from the same parents, living in the same environment? How can they be so different? And you know I love each one. How could they be so different? And then I realized that one had two older brothers, and one had two younger brothers, and one had one of each. I thought, boy, that is different, isn't it? And I began to understand them a little bit better. Can you accept your partner and the members of your family as a significant design in God's workmanship? Can you do that? He's saying, oh no, Pastor, wait a minute, hold everything. I married outside the will of God, and I'm condemned, I'm doomed to a miserable existence. I believe that might have some truth in it, but it's basically the devil's lie. The truth in it might be that you did marry outside of the will of God. But I think that the departing from God's truth comes at that point. That once you've said, I do, this is God's will for you, and He's got that person in your marriage to teach you something. He's part of the design. She's part of the design. And if you've been so willful, God didn't throw you out. You're his child. He's working with you. He's got a design, and maybe all of that difficulty that you're experiencing is God's design to make you what he wants you to be. Once you say, I do, don't ever say, I'm outside of God's will by remaining true to my family. Don't ever do that. That's just putting another negative on top of something that maybe could have been better for you. Let's think of it in another way. Accept your partner, accept the members of your family as a significant design of God's workmanship. If you do that, what about the kids? You ever lose your temper with your kids? I have. I've grieved over that. You know? They press you right to the nth of your patience and bam. And then you have the rest of your life to think about it and grieve about it. Have you ever seen that as part of God's design? Oh, it's not that it's good. It's not that that was what God would have chosen for you. But have you seen that as you approach those experiences, you really need to sit down and communicate and love and take the steps that will keep you from doing something like that again? Do you see God? You know the way it was when you were in love just before you got married and you saw the object of your affection, and you know, it just seemed that maybe if she or he was in a crowd, oh, they just lit up, you know? It was like somebody painted them with luminous paint, right? There they were, you know, you couldn't get eyes on anybody else, right? If we accept what this book, just Ephesians itself, not the whole Bible, just accept this book of how God is planning before the foundation for our salvation, for our eternal glory. Couldn't you look at the members of your family with those same eyes and say, this person is a significant part of God's design and his workmanship for me. Do you think of your family? What do you think of them? Do you allow, those difficult and knotty problems and all of the things that bring tension to a family? Maybe God wants to teach you something about submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Maybe he wants to teach you something about the fact that you don't have to go around asserting yourself. Jesus loves you. He's your protector and your provider. Do you know that? How relaxed our families would be if we could understand that. Paul's prayer for those Christians found in Ephesians 3 went this way. I pray that out of this is verse 16. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Today, as we close the service, will you come to God with the needs of your family? Will you come to God with the needs of your wife and husband? Would you come to God with his purposes in placing you in that family? Will you accept what God is trying to do in your life through your family? Will you look and think about what it means to be part of a Christian family. We think of your responsibilities and the joys of being members one of another in this place, even today. We allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. We allow the Holy Spirit to apply some of these things that we've talked so simply and so quickly this morning. Will you meet with God today? Let's pray. Let's pray silently. Let's talk to Him about where we are, where our families are, where our sin is. Let's ask Him for the forgiveness that we need.
Of thy glory all the day long, all the day long.